am talking to the amazing Renaissance woman and award-winning actress Jane Seymour, who is the recipient of the Officer of the British Empire, which was bestowed upon her by Queen Elizabeth II. She has shown her talents in virtually every arena, from motion pictures to television. I've interviewed her now. This is my fifth time. I have a lot of admiration for Jane. She's going to talk about her new book, Among Angels, which really talks about her thought-provoking information about angels and insights, as well as other things in her life. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the program once again. You have a brand new book out called Among Angels, and you've written so many books, from decorating to people's challenges, and today it's about angels. Why did you pick that subject?
Well, I wrote a book about opening your heart called Open Hearts, which we had out a year or so ago, and it was very similar in style. But really, I realized that when extraordinary things happen in one's life, quite often you can't explain why mm-hmm. someone would suddenly randomly help you, why something you did that you didn't think anything of changed someone's life, and why certain things happen. You know, sometimes you feel that there's a connection to someone that's passed. And I looked up about angels, and I realized that angels are in every culture. Every faith spoke of angels since the beginning of time, and that angels are actually messengers. And basically, they're you or me, and if our hearts are open, we can receive the benefit of an angel mm-hmm. and possibly be an angel ourselves.
Mm. So really, this book comes on the tail or on the wings, if you want to talk about angels, of the book
Open Hearts.
Right, which talks about opening your heart. Now, you gave some examples in the book, and they're personal examples that I'd like to talk about in terms of angels. You said that when your sister Annie was preparing for your mother's funeral, she looked outside and noticed a young man sitting on the front wall, and he seemed ill. Talk about that story.
Well, it was extraordinary. You know, my sister was there deeply in grief, and as one does, you know, trying to figure out, now suddenly you have to throw this huge funeral and let so many people know, and that your mother has passed, and she was very overwhelmed emotionally with this whole thing and you know, doing it all herself. And suddenly she looked outside and she saw this young man who was obviously not well sitting on her on little wall outside her house. And her instinct was to do something kind of crazy, which is to bring this complete stranger into her home at that time, lay him down, look after him, give him some food, some drink, let him sleep, take care of him whilst doing all the other things, and then the man left. And so basically, it occurred to her that this is what our mother would have done.
Yes.
And that this was, she felt this was our mother from above just saying, hey, you know what, you're getting all stressed out about this, but there's someone who needs your help more than you need it right now, and he's right outside, so take care of him. And she did, and of course he was eternally grateful, and you know, didn't turn out to be a bad guy, turned out to be a really good person who was very, very grateful. And and of course my mother was able to handle my mother's funeral, you know, beautifully.
And I know it says in the book that the following day your sister found a card on the wall that said, thank you for your kindness to a stranger in his hour of need at such a sad time in your life. You are an angel. Signed, a friend.
There you go. So that's one example, you know, and I have other examples in the book of a child who was supposed to die when she was very young, whose sister saw her in the room and saw the presence of an angel literally come and say, no, You know, your sister's going to live, and the child did, and the child, you know, lived and happily ever after. And
then
extraordinary things. So with my mother, when she passed, she left, we know she did, because there was nothing with feathers remotely anywhere near where she lived. And there was a white feather that landed just after she passed, right where my sisters and I used to stand and visit her for 7 months after she'd had a stroke, couldn't move or anything. And this white feather reappears all the time in our lives when crucial moments happen.
Mm. And you know it's your mother.
Yes. I mean, just the other day, you know, my sister had a very bad medical issue, and we were very, very worried for her. And finally, she was over that, and she was having a sort of post-traumatic stress moment and talking about all the terrible things and stuff she was worried about in her life. And then the moment she put the phone down for me, she looked outside at the gutters, which is something she had to have repaired, and there was a perfect white feather.
Aww.
So my mother shows up at strange places at strange times, but always when we're really seeking her counsel or behaving the way she would have wanted us to behave.
Isn't that amazing? And you recognize it. Then you have another story about your father, where you say that you and your father discussed the possibility of heaven, and he was a humanist and didn't believe in heaven. But then then you asked him to give you a little haunting, should he be wrong, and laughed. And then tell us about that. And then after he died, your life fell apart, and then it came together with Dr. Quinn. So talk about that.
Well, after he died, my life did fall apart. I found out the marriage that I and the financial stability that I believed I had were all a sham, and that I was in deep, deep debt, nothing to do with me, all to my ex-husband had done, and that he'd completely fallen apart himself. And so I went through a terrible divorce. I lost everything, my homes, money, self-esteem, everything. And and at my greatest moment of need, I called my agent and I said, you know, I need to work yesterday. I'll do anything. And he called all the networks. And that time I was, you know, doing a lot of work and I was very reasonably successful. And they said, anything? And they said, yep, anything. And CBS said, well, we have this little movie. We never expect it to be a series, but she'd have to sign for 5 years. You know, we don't expect it to do anything more than just be one-off, really. But she'd have to make the decision in the next 12 hours. And it was Dr. Quinn. And, of course, I grew up as a doctor's daughter. I grew up with microscopes. I saw surgery at 10. I worked in a hospital since I was a kid. You know, I moved west, as it were, a lot further than Dr. Quinn did. And my father and I used to share this love of the history of medicine. So if that wasn't a little haunting, I don't know.
Isn't that something? Out of your greatest need. And Dr. Quinn, actually, I mean, I had always loved your work, but I was a faithful watcher and listener of Dr. Quinn. I think it's the only series that I saw every single episode. I just was so taken by it because it was universal, and it wasn't just about that time, Jane. They were life lessons you could apply today.
Exactly right. And I think the interesting aspect now, looking back on it, and right now is that it's showing in 98 countries. So think about that. That's a piece of Americana that is profoundly touching people in 98 different countries where they don't even speak our language mostly, and they have, you know, different faiths and different cultures, and yet this speaks to every one of them. And I just think, you know, how wonderful is that? Because it was really about the human condition, and it's pretty much timeless because it's set back in the past, but as you said, it deals with issues that we deal with every single day in every single country.
All right, before we take a break, what is your advice to people, Jane, today going through tough times? You know, so many people are having tough financial times, and they're scared. What would you say?
Well, I would say, first of all, I would always take the advice that my mom gave me, which is there's always someone out there that's worse off than you. And that if you think that something is insurmountable right now, just go out and see what you can do to help someone else. And by doing that, you take yourself out of the whirlwind of negativity and despair and depression and fear that you are now wound up in. And you can actually feel that you were useful. You know, you had a sense of purpose. You did something. You made a difference. Now, what will happen is you'll find that you have opened your heart to someone else. And in so doing, you're now open to the possibility that there might be a different way of looking at how you can you know, find solutions to the situation you're in. You know, I think sometimes you get so wound up in your own stuff that you just, you can't see it from the outside. And sometimes it really takes something as simple as that to allow yourself to say, okay, yesterday was done. That, you know, that was what I paid for my house. That was what happened in my marriage. That was a choice I made. That was an accident that happened. That is, you know, a prognosis that I've been given. But now I'm in the present moment, and now I can reach forward and be open to some different way of approaching what I have left in my life.
You were telling us about your brand new book, which is Among Angels, and then the book before that is Open Hearts. And in fact, there is a woman, Susan Vincent Rizzo from Rhode Island, who is part of your book, Open Hearts.
Go
ahead.
She was great. No, you tell about her.
Well, yeah, she's an amazing woman. She had a daughter who was killed instantly in a car accident, and her daughter was a dancer. And she just has a wonderful story. And she got involved with you through Dancing with the Stars, and then has you've met with her since.
I have, absolutely. But she's, you know, the epitome of someone with an open heart who's taken tragedy and turned it around to benefit other people in the memory of her daughter. And really, you know, done amazing things. And,
yes,
you know, one of the best things about doing these books is I get to meet people like her all over the country who are more often than not unsung heroes, unsung mm-hmm. angels, you know, mm-hmm. who really turn grief into
yes.
something extraordinary to help other people.
Yes, and she created a foundation called I think it's the Rizzo Foundation, but it's in honor of her daughter, and
yes.
it helps a lot of dancers and art therapists and dance therapists as well.
That's right.
Yes, and you created a foundation, the Open Hearts Foundation.
We have. We've just started, and we're doing a sort of proper launch at Valentine's next year. And the Open Hearts Foundation will benefit a number of causes, mostly to do with children, everything from their health to mentoring and dealing with foster kids and dealing with really with mainly children's causes. And some of the organizations that we're going to be raising money for will be the unsung heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the important things to me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And by the way, I believe the foundation for Susan Vincent Rizzo was Drea's Dreams.
That's
so
right.
Yes.
And that,
yep.
and that she does dance therapy, and I think eight hospitals now, eight children's
yes,
hospitals.
Which is wonderful. Well, Jane, tell us about some of the movies. You have been so busy. You've just finished three movies.
Yes, it's been kind of
wow.
crazy. I did a movie called Love, Wedding, Marriage with Mandy Moore and Kellan Lutz and Jessica Sir and Jim Brolin. And that was a wonderful romantic comedy. I shot that in New Orleans. And then I followed that with At Home with Prudence, which is a sequel but quite different, actually, from the original At Home with Prudence.
Yes.
But the same character, Prudence, now finds her show is being taken over by a media mogul, and whose son wants to change the whole thing over and put a blonde bimbo in as a co-host. And this time we meet Prudence's daughter, who is actually played in real life by my real daughter,
Katie
yeah. Flynn. And that was really fun. And, of course, my ex-lover shows up, and that turns out to be Joe Lando from Dr. Quinn.
Right. So he was Sully
and
Dr. Quinn.
The immediate mogul is played by James Keats. So it's a bit
of
a family
affair.
And
James Keats, who is your real-life husband.
That's right. So we were all worked together, which was great fun, because James used to direct Joe Lando in Dr. Quinn a great deal.
Yes, yes.
So we're very good friends. And then we have a movie that my husband directed, which I exec produced, called Waiting for Forever. It's a wonderful movie with Rachel Bilson and Tom Sturridge and Richard Jenkins and Blythe Danner and Nikki Blonsky. It's an absolutely wonderful feature film.
And you're also currently filming in Virginia an independent film called Lake Effects, which
That's
is
right.
a difference.
It's also a beautiful, beautiful script. It's an independent movie, so I don't know when it's coming out. But two terrific actresses in it, Scotty Thompson and Madeline Zimmer. Madeline Zimmer you'd know from The Nanny and...
Mm-hmm.
From Californication
yeah.
recently. And it's just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful movie. Mm. And it took place in this idyllic place called Smith Mountain Lake in Virginia.
Now, your children are quite active. Your son Johnny has a rock band, and your son Sean and
yeah.
Katie, they're all acting. Talk about what they're doing.
Well, Johnny is really extraordinarily exciting. And we really believe that Johnny Cash, who is his godfather, and June, his godmother, are somehow channeling him, or something's happening, something extraordinary is happening, because Johnny is musical, but he's off the charts musical. He's really writing
something.
And performing exceptional music, rock and roll music, which major people in the industry are telling us is exceptionally good.
Isn't
so he's
wonderful.
Been recorded already. He's about to record another six songs. It hasn't been put out there for the public to see yet, but they are playing venues. They'll be playing November 24th at the Canyon Club. I think that's in Southern California near
okay.
where I live, and I think Agora or Calabasas,
right.
Somewhere out there. No, Thousand Oaks, sorry, Thousand Oaks. And probably the Viper Room. So he's doing very well. And then Sean Flynn, my 25-year-old, he's showing his photography in various galleries, and he's doing a very interesting, very different three-process photography. It's not digitally enhanced at all. It's rather like an Ansel Adams contemporary version of that kind of thing. It's hard to explain, but really beautiful. And his name is Sean Flynn, and I think you can see his things if you go online.
And also Katie, your daughter
yep.
Katie's acting in films.
Katie's starring
just...
in a number of movies. She did another one before the one she did with me in England, a horror movie, actually. And, and then And then, of course, the other twin, Chris, is hitting home runs out of the park. He's a great baseball player.
Well,
everyone's well, and
everyone, and your husband, of course, is a director and producer as well. James Keach. Jane, your secret, you know, you're an amazing Renaissance woman, and I'm not saying this to flatter you. You know, you are now probably midlife, and you are doing more or as much as anybody 20 years younger than you. You keep going, you keep moving. What's the secret here to making your life work the way that you have, even, and you've had obstacles and you've overcome them?
Well, I think it really is that I believe in this concept of the open heart. But basically, you know, instead of worrying about what I'm not doing or worrying about why yesterday, whatever happened in the past, isn't happening today, I kind of look at the present moment and I just see where there's a need or where there's something that I feel that I can be a part of or something that I think is important to be involved in. And that's all I do. I mean, there's no mm-hmm. great giant plan here. And I think also, you know, I'm now getting to play older characters. Mm-hmm. And because I haven't done a ton of plastic surgery, I still look like me and I've got a few wrinkles. But, you know, mercifully not too many. And I'm getting to play some great character roles. So
isn't
I think that's
wonderful.
What's happening in that part of my career. Because, you know, a lot of people are trying to look much younger than they really are. And then they can't really play the age that they are.
Yeah. Jane, it's always an honor and pleasure and inspiration to have you on this program.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the program. The acclaimed actress, Jane Seymour. Jane, what is the website for you?
JaneSeymour.com.
Okay.
And everything's there.
All right. Thank you so much, Jane, for being
welcome.
On the program.